Well, this is the first time I've given a presentation in about 25 years. This is also a presentation about active spectacles, but this is 3D from the spectacles alone. On behalf of Ken Jacobs and myself, I'd like to thank Andrew Woods and the rest of the program committee for giving us the opportunity to talk at this conference. Unfortunately, Ken Jacobs isn't here. Ken Jacobs is a notorious filmmaker. He's been making films for over 50 years. He was the chair of the cinema department at SUNY Binghamton, and now that he's retired, he's even more active than before. He was doing a 3D performance at the Museum of Modern Art in Stockholm, Sweden, and just returned from that, and at 78. It just takes too much energy for him to then travel to San Francisco. So you got me instead, and my name is Ron Karp, and this is my first time at SDA, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you the work that we've been doing on continuously adjustable Pulfrich spectacles, or CAPS as I'll refer to them in the presentation. Is that better? And this talk is about a much better way to do Pulfrich 3D movies. Pulfrich 3D has been done for about 80 years, but the selection spectacles are so limited, limit the content that it can be used for, that it's hardly ever used. I think if you look in the spy proceedings, Pulfrich is hardly ever mentioned. This is the Pulfrich monocle. This is a Pulfrich selection device. It's a neutral density filter. It is unpolarized, and when you use it for the proper scenes, hold it in front of one eye, it gives great 3D. This is a device very similar to this, was used for what was probably the very first live 3D TV broadcast of 3D, and that was the Rose Bowl parade about a quarter century ago. It works great for parades because parades are in one direction and you can have a fixed camera and you can control the light very well. So it works very well. This talk is about then is applying new technologies so that we have a much better Pulfrich selection device, which will work in synchronous to the movie, to motion in the movie, and show all the action scenes in a movie in 3D. So the theme of this presentation is with this new implementation of Pulfrich 3D, we believe that these selection devices in Pulfrich 3D should be reconsidered by the 3D community as a new way of doing 3D. So before I explain how CAPS work, let me explain Pulfrich. It's very natural for us to assume that the eyes continuously send stimulation to the brain, visual stimulation to the brain, but that's not the case. There's 100 million visual receptors in each eye, and while they're continually stimulated by light, the eyes trigger at discrete time intervals. And so to continue Lenny Lipton's analogy between the camera and the eye, you have a camera shuttering when you manually snap a picture, but our eyes are actually independently shuttering at a rate which is dependent on the amount of illumination that they receive. For video running at 30 frames per second with appropriate filtering, a Pulfrich monocle can introduce as much as a 10-frame difference between what the eye mind sees. So with Pulfrich, you're looking at a single image with the unfiltered eye, you're seeing an instant image. But with the unfiltered eye, you're seeing an instant image. With the filtered eye, you are seeing a delayed image or a lagging image. And we can delay that by about as much as 10 frames of video. So this is a way that one can allow the brain to do the 2D to 3D conversion. These are two quotes that I pulled out from Lenny Lipton. The first one is from his foundation text in 1982. The only desirable asymmetries in a stereoscopic system of photography and projection are the asymmetries of horizontal parallax. And more recently, in one of his voluminous blogs, he said there are two parts to stereoscopic systems, the selection device design and content creation. The reason I pulled this out is CAPS violates both of these maxims. I wanted to try and make the difference between these what we're proposing as a new class of active devices. I wanted to make clear what the fundamental differences between this and every other type of glasses. With CAPS, there are it's a single image system, and with CAPS, there is no reason to look at the content to worry about content creation. 3D is created by the selection device alone from a 2D moving. To be clear, if we could build these would be active selection devices that would be the most active devices ever built. We would have the lenses of the device modulating their optical density synchronous to every frame of the video. And they're changing the optical density to get the maximum amount out of the Pulfrich phenomenon. Basically, what we want to achieve is what Lenny Lipton called a blank. What we want to do is get the best, allow the illumination to get the proper dual images to the brain. So, you're looking at a single image. A single image is falling on the retina of the eye, and it's the eye brain that is getting dual images from illumination difference. And if we could build these, then the benefits are going to be very clear. We have 3D with just a selection device. You have the eyes focusing on just a single image, so there's really no eye strain problems. One eye is always going to be viewing the video through a clear lens, so it's going to get full color and full brightness. This is going to work seamlessly within the video production architecture. This is going to work seamlessly within the video delivery architecture for 2D. It's not going to require any additional bandwidth, and you can have two viewers simultaneously viewing the exact same movie. The one wearing CAPS is going to view it, the action scenes in 3D. The one viewing it without the CAPS is going to view it in 2D. Experience with Pulfrich is extensive. Ken has been doing 3D theaters for almost 50 years, doing different 3D theaters. But in his classes, what he'll do very typically is pick passages of movies and pass out his Pulfrich monocle. Show movies. So what he's been able to show is passages of movies from The Wizard of Oz, from Cameron's Terminator movie, Cameron's Titanic, and they're viewed in beautiful 3D. Rayzone related in an email how he showed his 3D club a 1903 movie Georgetown Loop, a silent movie, an 8-minute movie, passed out Pulfrick spectacles, and they viewed this movie in amazing 3D. This is a movie made more than 100 years ago, and possibly Ray Zohn and his 3D club are the only ones to ever have seen it in 3D. So the object of what we want to be able to build, have not yet built it, is active glasses that are going to moderate the lenses of the spectacles, synchronous to every frame of the movie, so that we're going to squeeze every last drop of 3D out of it. Essentially, what we're doing is we're replacing the asymmetry of a dual image with the asymmetry of illumination asymmetry. And the illumination asymmetry, if we do it right, we'll be able to produce the 3D effect from a 2D moving. So we had no idea if CAPS is going to be doable. We now believe it is, though we haven't actually believed it. We haven't built it yet. And we actually think it's probably easier to build than we ever imagined or hoped. Slide too. This is from Lenny Lipton's foundation's text. Ken Jacobs has exploited the Pulfrick phenomenon by equipping audience members with neutral density monocles. He's been showing this for 40 years. He's had extensive experience. It is really a wonder to watch the dramatic scenes of movies like All Quiet on the Western Front, or watch Fred and Ginger dancing in 3D. And that's what we've been able to see with the Pulfrick monocle, and that's what we believe we can do with active CAP spectacles. When we started looking at human perception, we found that there's been a lot of work establishing retinal reaction time. It's well known. If you have brightness, which is about that of a clear sky, the eyes are going to trigger at about 180 milliseconds. If we are able to know that what we want is a 100 millisecond delay in order to get the maximum Pulfrick effect, we can use the retinal reaction time to identify exactly what the OD of the lenses need to be. We didn't really know if optoelectronics that would do this existed. When we started looking at the field of optoelectronics, we found that there are numerous classes of materials that will do it. What we need is a material that's transparent, has transmission of light that's controllable by a small electric current, lenses that are neutral gray, non-polarized, and that probably can transition between the clear and dark state in 1 to 2 seconds. There's been materials that have been known like this for over 100 years. Before I moved out west, we saw some of them at a research lab up near Princeton. The most difficult and challenging problem is calculating the temporal frame delay so that the eye brain sees the right images. And for that, we need to be able to somehow characterize the motion in a frame. And that's a very complex, computer-intensive problem. And what we found was really our big eureka moment. If you're in the digital realm, all of that digital processing is being done. If you're doing digital video image compression, or you're doing decompression, or upconversion, or deintellation, or image stabilization, all kinds of technology, If you're in the digital world, this work is already being done. Wizard of Oz was shot at 24 frames per second, but when you watch it on Turner Movie Classics on your Sony Bravo TV, you're watching it at 120 frames per second. And all of those additional frames are being created by a very powerful processor on the computer that's filling in all the additional frames without any motion artifacts. In order to do that, it has to calculate motion vectors. And the characteristic motion vector that we need to optimize these lenses, we suspect is nothing more. A weighted average of the motion vectors. So it becomes a very computer doable problem. So putting it all together, TV broadcast quality video is about 190 gigabytes. So you really, in the digital world, you have to do compression. And you do computationally intensive image processing to do the compression. And then the TV is, or whatever, is going to do the decompression. Or your digital TV is going to do interlacing. Or you're going to be doing up conversion on your digital theater projector or digital TV. And all of that is going to give us the, in a rather simple way, we can use that to calculate the characteristic motion vector frame by frame so that we know how to optimize caps. And so what we're going to do is the geometry of dual images goes way back. It's Lenny Lipton, had three or four chapters of describing the geometry. And that all works with the instant and lagging image. We're going to measure the ambient brightness on the cap spectacles. We have the characteristic motion vector, and then using the retinal reaction time and the operating characteristics of the material and probably some historical previous frame characteristic motion vectors and some heuristic constraints, but we can solve for an objective function, which is going to give the left and right OD. So we're going to maximize the Pulfrich effect. We're going to squeeze every last bit of depth information out of Pulfrich. We need exotic materials. We need the lenses, the cap spectacles to be... I'm about to finish. to be under microprocessor control, but it's they're already very similar to active lenses that are on the market. So in closing, what I've been trying to do is sort of in... We haven't actually built these yet. We have some we have an alpha-level prototype, which I'll show at the demo session tonight, which shows three deeps and shows the potential. But in fact, in 2 weeks, there'll be the Super Bowl. And if you're watching the Super Bowl through a digital system delivered through Comcast or Netflix streaming or YouTube or whatever, all of the information to sync frame by frame so we can see the action scenes and the Super Bowl in 3D, it's already there, and so we're hoping at some point to be able to build that. But I can show at least the potential. So I hope I intrigued you and entertained you a little bit and maybe convinced some of you that we should, that the 3D community should take another look at Pulfrich 3D. Maybe take a look at the new active spectacles where we apply technology to a new class of active spectacles. And let me skip over that. last sentence. In one of Lipton's blogs, he said, I hope that at the SPY conference gets to be goofy again, where people show all kinds of weird inventions. And so I'm not sure whether I might have convinced some of you of the potential for Pulfrick, but I'm certainly hoping that I've been able to meet Lipton's criteria of presenting something which is Rube Goldbergish, goofy, maybe weird, but our experience is that it has real potential to work along with other 3D technologies. Please stop by the demo. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.